Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I mean, please.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Speaking of Bob Dylan, we saw the Eagles last night. Although you don't put the "the," they just go by Eagles. So we saw Eagles last night, which sounds weird to say.
Do the Beatles are the Beatles, though, right? And the Rolling Stones are the Rolling Stones.
Right, but it's just Eagles.
I did not know that it was just Eagles.
Yeah. If you look on all their albums and the marquee and everything, there's never the word "the." It's just Eagles.
Same with Foo Fighters.
But they're the Foo Fighters and they are the Eagles. Like, you can't say the sentence without saying it, though.
You have to rephrase your sentence if you're trying to be correct.
So I'm going to see Foo Fighters tonight.
Yeah.
Right.
The latest Foo Fighters album, not the latest album from the Foo Fighters. It's the latest Foo. Right. No, I get this wrong all the time.
So you're saying I'm wrong if I say I'm going to see the Foo Fighters tonight?
Technically.
Yes. Yeah. Like, we went to see Eagles last night.
You see, I'm going to the Foo Fighters show. That's not correct. I'm going to see Foo Fighters in concert tonight.
We went to see Eagles last night. Looks like you're going bird watching.
I know. You're right. Your mother and I had sort of an argument about that because I was insisting that the name of the group is Eagles, not the word "the." But Steely Dan opened for them. And Steely Dan is a one-man group now, although they had 13 people on the stage, which was ridiculous. But... you know, Walter Becker died, and now it's just Donald Fagen.
So Larry Carlton doesn't play with him anymore?
I don't believe he does. But Steely Dan, if you know Steely Dan, you know that, you know, they have a few very, very big hits. And they were the opening act, so they played like 45 minutes, and they didn't play "Ricky, Don't Lose That Number."
Oh,
how
really?
Is that possible? Yeah. That's like one of their most beloved songs, along with "Reelin' in the Years," and they didn't play it. But I want to give an homage to Eagles. Because this is a remarkable group. Like, in their current incarnation, they combine, you know, rock, hard rocker Joe Walsh and classic country artist Vince Gill. And the two of them play beautifully together. He does a lot of Glenn Frey's vocals, you know, the higher register. And Eagles, they're so good, and it really whets my appetite to see Bob Dylan tonight. We're recording this Saturday morning, and Christopher and I are going to see Bob Dylan tonight, so we may bring you a quick review from that concert. But Dylan is a weird guy to go to see, I can tell you that.
Doesn't he famously, like, not play his biggest hits?
Yes. Yeah, we went to see Bob, my buddy Chris Benson and I went to see Bob Dylan a few years ago, and he played one song that would be called a hit, Tangled Up in Blue. And other than that, he just played a bunch of obscure songs, like album cuts, deep cuts. It was good. I mean, if you're a Dylan fan, you love that, but you got to play the hits, man. Come on.
And that was the exciting start of an episode of Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
That's right. No, the. that's correct. By the way, we were at dinner last night.
You love restaurants, huh? I mean, geez, what a life you live. Just dinner last night, Eagles concert, Bob Dylan tonight. Just, man.
I know. Yeah, we get around like the Beach Boys.
Are you ever going to get tired?
I don't think so. We have this little place called J. Alexander's, and we love the stuffed artichoke there.
Dad, it's a major restaurant that most people have heard of, right? Yeah, do you know J. Alexander's?
No, I don't know J. Alexander's.
Oh, maybe that's just a local place, because, like, there's a bunch of them around here, so I thought it was like a chain.
But... I think I've heard you all talk about them, which would be the only way I've heard of them.
It's definitely not a little place, though, like hole in the wall. You painted it like a little hole in the wall. We love it, J. Alexander's.
It's true. It's a big... place. I didn't know it was a chain, to be honest with you.
There's more than one. It might not be a national chain, but there's more than one for sure.
Okay. But they have a great stuffed artichoke. If you're over there, get that. I insist on it. But in the middle of our dinner, the song Happy Birthday erupts, which is always great. It always warms my heart to hear that. It's the most known song in the English language in history.
Really?
It's a public domain song now. But I want to rewrite Happy Birthday.
Oh, and, wow.
And I do. And I have to instruct people because we've all heard the Happy Birthday song, okay? And once you get to saying the person's name, it devolves into like a murmur because nobody's sure what to say. Is everybody saying Dad? Are they saying Greg? Are they saying Pop? So it's like, Happy birthday to you.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
You're saying the part where it's like, Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Greg.
Right. And then three people are saying Greg, and two people are saying Dad. And it'd be
five, six-year-old saying Pop. Right.
Yeah. So celebrants.
It's not that confusing, though. Everyone knows who we're singing about. Like,
Everybody says a different word. And my rewriting of the song is, celebrants, you have to get together at the table and decide, who are we saying, Dad? Are we saying Greg? What are we saying?
So you're not rewriting the words. You're just saying before the song, we have to agree on this.
Yes, correct.
That's not rewriting the words at all.
So you have an entire committee before sing. Like, right. I love this before a surprise party. You have an entire committee. Like, okay, they're going to be here in 30 seconds. Which name are we saying? And nobody can figure it out. So they just walk in while you're in the middle of the argument.
Correct.
There's always like one Look at Me, Louie that's like, gotta sing the name the loudest. Like somebody's like, Dad, instead of Greg or Pop. Like,
No. More than that, it's the Look at Me, Louie who has to sing the harmony to it. While everyone's like, happy birthday. No. I'm talking to myself. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you are that person. No, but it's the worst is the person that's like, what's the thing you say? Like, cha-cha-cha. Like, the cha-cha-cha people are annoying.
That's my son. My dad was that way.
I don't mean to call your family annoying. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. We are. Totally.
I've never heard
of I go operatic at the end, too. I go, happy birthday to... Yeah.
You would. Oh, yeah, you sing the first part of the song. Annoying. I'll do the cha-cha-cha for my dad.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
And then it's like, how old are you now?
How old are you now? You do that one?
No, I've heard people after the song, like the song's completed. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Greg.
I've never heard how old are you now, though. I've heard how old are you.
Oh, it's how old are you now?
That's the way we've done it. But this is what I always find funny is like when there are songs that are universally known, but there's always a slight variation depending on either your family or where you lived.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do how old are you now?
Maybe it's... What are you saying? What do you say?
How old are you?
I have never heard that.
No, I think it's how old are you now? Yeah, for us. Yeah.
Yeah,
for
real.
You have to. Variation. There's more words in mine. Like, you have to, like, elongate out. Like, you. Like,
I have to know three things about tiny things about music to do my way. I'm sorry, Christopher.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying ours fit. You are a big guy on syllabic. What is it?
Getting syllabic. Syllabically correct.
Ours fits more with the syllables. Like, you have to drag out words. Like, come on, we're not dragging words out around here.
At any rate,
how old are you now?
Let's just do the song right, okay? Let's do the song right and get together and let's all say Dad. Nobody's saying Greg.
What a lame party you're proposing, though, where it's like, all right, before we start, what are we all saying?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
We're going to cast lots to see which version we're going with.
You want
to
say Pop? Well, they want to say Greg. Well, they want to say Dad. It's just like now we're spending 10 minutes with the most annoying conversation
ever. As the commissioner of Happy Birthday.
That's right.
I swear, Dad, I've probably sang, I have some strong happy birthday bona fides. I'd argue nobody's saying happy birthday more than me for someone my age.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about, though, where you get to the name and everybody's saying something different.
And I've never stressed that moment. I always just enjoy that moment for what it is. There's different, like, relationships here. There's different, like, people call Graceland, like, some people call me Dad, some people call me Chris, some people call me Christopher. Like, I just always keep living my life. I never stay in that moment. This needs to be fixed. Someone needs to fix this.
Yeah, it does need to be fixed. Okay, if we're singing happy birthday to you, almost everybody is saying Chris, and I'm the only guy at the end going, affirm.
Are you? Would you be in that spot willing to call me Chris for the song?
Begrudgingly, I might, yeah.
I was going to say, see, you're unwilling to call the person something else than you. So basically, it's what does Greg want to call the person is what we're doing here.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all about me. By the way, we're moving on right now because I want to very quickly.
I don't want to move on quite yet because I want to remind the audience that last time my dad had a birthday dinner, he demanded that the entire family call him the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody. So we're at, you know, landlubbers over here, and the waitress comes over, and we're like, all right, when we get to the name, it's not Greg. It's, yeah, it was.
Okay, sing how that would sound.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, and then there's this guy.
Cha-cha-cha.
And many more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hate that too.
That one's not me.
Yeah, I hate that too. Did anybody see John Stewart crying about his deceased dog?
They covered it on Levitard.
Yeah, I thought it was a little odd. I'm like, dude, you're doing this show once a week. We need you here for the serious stuff. We need you to, like, no one else is doing this show right. You're only doing it once a week. Hell of a schedule you got. I mean, I'm half kidding. Like, it was obviously a sweet story, and everyone appreciated it.
Because that is the serious stuff to him. In his life, that is the serious stuff.
Right.
Losing his three-legged dog. I cried watching him sobbing.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did, because it took me back to Riley. It took me back to saying goodbye to Riley at the vets that day.
Oh, so we're making this about you.
Put to sleep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it did. It just...
Be fair, it's the connection point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I mean, some people have made fun of Jon Stewart. And I'm coming to his aid here. I think what he did was heartfelt. I think millions of pet owners can relate to it. And I give him credit for being so open with his emotions about losing a dog, because it can feel like you're losing a family member.
Does Jon Stewart have any kids?
I don't know. That's a good question. By the way, I have big news coming up. But before I get to my big news, I want to blast.
He does have, as your internet craps out again, he does have two kids, because I was going to make fun of him. I feel like people without kids take animal losses way harder than people with kids.
Probably.
But I guess I'm wrong, because he has two kids.
And who are his kids?
I don't know. I mean, Nathan and Maggie. Like, what do you...
He looks like he would have a daughter named Maggie.
You want me to, like, pull him up on the Zoom now? I mean, actually, that would be a good get. You think we could get Maggie Stewart?
His lesser-known but more talented daughter, Maggie?
Yeah.
Wake up, Maggie.
She's 18 years old. That's probably a little. What about? Let's see, Nathan.
Greg, please don't use the reference to Maggie Mae.
Why?
In relation to his 18-year-old daughter.
Okay. The University of Florida has dismantled and disbanded its diversity, equity, and inclusion department, and this is really pissing me off, because it's just another step in the dystopian state of Ron DeSantis stepping backward into the 1950s. Since when does the state of Florida not be in favor of diversity, equity, and inclusion? And by extension, the University of Florida now. I just don't get it.
Your family was clearly not from North Florida. Sorry.
Yeah, it's. I'm not going to stay on this high horse, but it's just really annoyed me that happened.
See, like, but like, man, I just hate all of this at this point. Like even you, what you just did, bringing that up.
Yeah.
Like, you either annoyed some people, like me and Yeti probably fall on your side of it. Like, we're agreeing with what you're saying. Right. But even me, I'm just like, when I hear this, anything political or that type of stuff, it's almost like the school shootings, where I've become so numb to just like, yep, Ron DeSantis, Florida, we're doing this. Like, I don't know. I just don't even know the value. And I know we have a platform, and, like, you know, we should talk about things. And I'm probably in the wrong here, but it's just...
No, I understand.
It just feels like it's just tune out, because it's like you're not changing anyone's opinion.
Yeah, the people you say that a lot. Yeah.
The people that are agreeing with you aren't even that, like... To me, it's just like, let's talk about fun stuff. Like, it's just not even...
yeah,
worth mentioning.
I get that, Chris. I do. And most of the time, that is 99.9% of our show. But I don't mind it if Greg wants to wade into these waters every now and again. This is me personally.
Yeah.
But like, because I completely get what you're talking about, from the feeling numb, getting numb to it all, or just getting so tired because you feel like it's pointless. I will tell you, for me, it was not. Because 20 years ago, I never would have understood Take It Back to Jon Stewart. I never would have understood him crying because his dog died. Not one bit. As I've gotten older, and now that I've seen friends go through stuff, I get that. So now, that's just the simple empathy that I lacked 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago, I would have very much been, I probably would have voted for DeSantis.
Yeah.
Right.
And as I've gotten older, it's weird because there's that old phrase that you're more liberal in your youth or whatever. And as you get older, you get more conservative. I was the opposite. I was very much on the very narrow and not I'm not even going to cut narrow minded, narrow worldview is what it is. My mind wasn't narrow. And I refuse to want to see anything outside of my one little way of thinking, and us getting tired about it. You know, now my worldview has changed so much to where I want to be more empathetic. I understand that things like DEI, they have to be a conscious effort. And the people who are trying to get rid of things like that, like DeSantis, they are hoping that we get tired. They us to get tired. They want us to give up and not fight it and just go back to the status quo. Are they costly? Sure. Yeah. They're in businesses. I work for a company that invests a lot in the DEI effort, at least on the surface. I still don't know. Yeah, long story on the backside of that, but at least on the surface, and they have structures in place to give us those opportunities to help us look for diverse hires and things like that. But it does come at a cost. I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I do too.
Because it requires conscious effort, and that's what we need. You know,
I'm really just speaking as the point of like the executive producer of this show.
I get it.
Dad, the last minute of this show or the 3 minutes we did on Happy Birthday? What was more entertaining to me?
Oh, the Happy Birthday. Sure. Like, but you know, sometimes you have to eat your vegetables too. It can't all be meat and potatoes.
Right. Empathy requires effort, and that's okay.
And I'm going to use a small example. A black driver, a 21-year-old black race car driver, just won a NASCAR race. Third black driver ever in the history of NASCAR to win a race.
It was Roger Carruth, right? In the truck series.
And he came directly from NASCAR's diversity program, developmental diversity program. And that's an example of how DEI works if you let it. And one thing I always hate is when this is lumped in as, oh, let's not talk politics. I don't consider being pro-diversity a political stand, okay? I don't consider being against racism a political stand. I think it should be integral in our way of life. So anyway, I'm off my high horse. I want to talk about a letter I got through your mother.
We're not talking about that.
Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, and it's Hee Haw 3 related. And,
I don't know about this letter.
It's not a good letter, Yeti. I'm kidding. It might be a good letter. It might be an offer to do a residency in Vegas, or it might be a legal document. Either way, we're not talking about it.
Okay.
Well, we should go to break then.
Yeah, I have to pee.
Okay. All right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Okay, I do want to bring my lovely wife, Christopher's mother, in for a brief cameo on this podcast, so hang on just a second.
All right, well, that's kind of annoying. But while he does that, I'm going to talk to you about Sheets and Giggles, guys. Hey, it's sleep month. As my dad gets up from his chair and doesn't mute his camera, doesn't mute his microphone. It's sleep month at Sheets and Giggles, guys. We just re-upped with Sheets and Giggles. They're going to be our lovers for a long...
Put the earphones in. And Daddy will see you, and...
I just, Mom.
Yes.
Dad did not. And by the way, you putting those things in your ears after they've been in Dad's ears is a real choice.
I can't even get them in my ears. My ears are so small compared to his.
I'm just saying, we heard everything there because Dad didn't mute his microphone. So like him getting you and walking back in and being like, "Oh, Yeti's gonna see you," and then all that. Like we heard all that. So I just let me do this Sheets and Giggles ad read before we get to you, because that's what Dad interrupted. It's sleep month at Sheets and Giggles. Loads of single day and week long sales and freebies all month long, including right now. You can get up to 25% off. No code needed. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg right now. Sleep month. All right. I thought every month was sleep month, but this apparently is sleep month. Go right now, guys. Plus, this Sunday is the first single day sale, March 10th, daylight savings time. 20% off site-wide, plus a free mask with every order using code DAYLIGHT. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. On March 10th, you use code DAYLIGHT. You get 20% off. It's 25% off site-wide up until then. Go now, guys. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. It'll change your... My dad's annoying the shit out of me during this. Good sleep, good rest. Your wife, your spouse will look at you and say, "Man, this is a damn good product. They just re-upped with us." Show them love this month. It's sleep month. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Promo code DAYLIGHT on March 10th. Hi, Mom. Why are you here?
It's because of you.
What?
Should I play the audio, Arlene?
Yes.
Oh, wait. Is this like Yeti? You know about this? This is me being bombarded here? Okay, go ahead.
All right. She's taken umbrage with something you said last week.
Okay. Man, I fell in love with New York this week, honestly.
Yeah, oh, it's great.
I really learned this weekend how terribly we did New York as a family growing up. Like, we just did Times Square.
Yeah.
Like, the worst place. And God bless, Mom. You guys tried. It probably cost an arm and a leg to do what we did. I am, in hindsight, realizing how we should have stayed in, like, every other place except there. And then we should have gone into there and then gotten out. My point is just the research on where should we stay. And you guys coming up with in the middle of Times Square is a little funny.
Wow. You said something that clearly didn't go over very well. Now the chickens are coming home to roost.
Somebody's gonna get a talking to.
What? Go ahead.
There's so much to say.
What?
So much
Look,
to say.
Look, I said in that clip, I'll reiterate, I'm not like...
No, well, you heard what you said. Well, you just said it. Okay. We can move on. The point is this, is that you were like 10 years old the first time you went there,
right.
And maybe 15 the next time you went there. And your mindset might be a little different than 36, okay? And let me just tell you that we didn't do it right. Okay. When you were the youngster, you loved the WWF, right?
Yeah.
That was your dream. That was your greatest thing ever, right?
I was a wrestling fan, yeah.
We stayed in Times Square correctly because...
I remember we were in an elevator with Stone Cold Steve Austin. I remember that.
Yeah, just a little thing like that. It might have been like the biggest moment of your life to date at that point. Your brother still was... He was frozen in time for like 5 minutes afterward.
Was that the hotel we were staying at where he was?
Yeah, it was this hotel we were staying
Look,
at.
I'm
right
not
there.
Saying...
And oh, no. And then let me just tell you that we didn't do it right. How about, let me just, stop me once I get to like 12 things we did.
My mom's ripping
other me. Than perhaps a Broadway play,
yeah.
Perhaps that we went to Yankee games, Met games.
Yeah, we did.
We went to a carriage ride in
Central Park.
Just like you did in the park,
just like you did. Yep.
We went to
Village on the Green. We went to Village on like the Tavern on the, what is it?
We went to Village
no,
on the Green.
I think
Green
it's Tavern on the Green. Village like, on the Village Green.
Tavern on
Village
the Green.
Green is where Nana and Pop used to live. Sorry. It's Tavern on the Green.
Very true. Tavern on the Green, which is just, you know, a little schleppy place that we decided to go, which is not in Times Square. And there is one thing that you and your brother were obsessed with and wanted to go back and do it again the second time was to be in Times Square so that you could go hang out with all those weirdos in the Central Park with, like, you know, the Spider-Man and all the other people and the women with, you know, big boobs that were hanging out. You loved that stuff. Did we also go to Chinatown? Did we also go to Little Italy? Did we go to all those places?
I'm just saying, staying in Times Square
was where you wanted to be.
Don't let your 8-year old decide where we're staying.
When we go to New York,
let you know, Graceland didn't choose our hotel, is what I'm saying.
Okay, but she's not a WWF fan either. She was 6 years old. You were not 6 years old. You had a lot of opinions as you currently do as well.
I'm gonna take the L on this. I didn't want this to mean, like, obviously I've been so spoiled in my life with all the vacations I've been on. Like, you are amazing. I'm just saying, I've learned, and I was wrong. All right, if this is on me, I picked the hotel when I was 9. All right, I'm gonna take, that's my fault.
You didn't pick the hotel. You wouldn't have been able to afford that.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not like you stayed in some schleppy place, right?
I'm just saying, Times Square is not the place to stay, Mom. That's all I've learned.
Marriott Marquis,
Mom, do you stay?
Really tough to stay in.
Do you stay in Times Square when you go to New York with Dad?
No, but I don't go with some 10-year-old.
All right, I'm just saying.
And I don't go with a 14-year-old. But we still allowed. We went to the World Trade Center. We were actually more, if you really think about it, more central than any place, because we went down to Statue of Liberty.
No, I know it's in the middle. I know Times Square.
And then that's right, in the middle. Maybe that's a good place to stay. Maybe.
Chris, I'm so sorry. I did not know this would go so poorly for you.
Oh, I mean, I stand by what I'm saying. Times Square is not the good place to stay. Like, that's all I was saying in that.
But who stays? Who just stops right where they're staying and goes nowhere else in New York City? It doesn't happen.
That's my point. Is you can stay so many places.
You were just on a high of your own last week, of your own little world out there.
Don't say anything.
It was the most perfect little weekend for you.
Yeah.
And so you're going to judge all things by that. But your 36-year-old body and brain is hopefully a little bit more advanced than the 14-year-old one.
Graceland, we're going to Savannah next month. You're picking where we stay. Start doing your research. She's on it. All right. Thanks, Mom.
Okay. I give her a little more credit than you at this point. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, the Chris haters are going to love that. I'm sorry. I did not know that was going to go so poorly for you. My God.
Look at him. Like, he can't handle me himself, so he's got to bring in Mom to handle his life. I mean, geez.
Chris Cody just got schooled. You got schooled. You got slapped upside the head with all kind of facts about everything we did.
Look, I never said we didn't have a good time in New York. Like, I never thought, I know we did, like, it was the best trip ever. All I ever said was you don't stay in Times Square. That was really the only point I was making.
Apparently you were wrong.
Is that, like, Times Square is the place where it's like you go, you look at it, you get as far away from it as you can. Like, and we stayed literally we were in the eye of the storm. That's all I was saying. I love Mom. I appreciate all the stuff we did. I've lived a great life thanks to her. No thanks to this guy in my screen right now.
No thanks to her. No thanks to me.
Greg, what do you have next in your giant stack of papers that you keep ruffling around?
Stop rubbing your face.
I have the best dad jokes and three facts, Jack, ever. But you know what I really want to get to? And I know we've had some contentious moments on this show, especially about things that never aired. But I do want to have an on-air hash out of the Ed Newman controversy, because I'm not letting this go. Okay, Christopher's rolling his eyes.
Yeah, you tricked me.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to give the context. Ed Newman is a guy, former Dolphins guard. He's like in his 60s now.
Actually, he's in his early 70s, I believe.
He's a judge. Okay. And if you were thinking,
retired judge.
And if you're thinking, oh man, this could be interesting. He's as boring a judge as you could be. He admitted it when we talked to him. He's like, I do traffic violations. Like, he's just a guy that in his post career, he became a judge.
County court judge.
I just said every single interesting thing. Like, right there. That was that's all we needed for the interview. Anyways, long story short, my dad pitches this guy as a guest. And he goes, do we want him on the podcast? I obviously say no. And he goes, I'm going to talk to this guy for a column. I'm going to record the conversation. If it's good, we air it. If not, we don't. I'm like, Dad, that sounds perfect. I wish we did that more often. Let's take a hack. If it's good, we air it. If I don't think it's great, we just won't. And you write a column, it's a win-win for everybody. I listen to this audio my dad does with this guy. And the whole time, before and after, he's like, yep, it's going to be on the podcast. No problem. Can't wait to air it. My dad told this guy it was going to be on the podcast, even though he told me that it would just be up for our discretion. If we want it, we can have it. So go ahead, Dad. How did I do it wrong this time?
You undersell how interesting Ed Newman's story is. You mentioned that, you know, he wasn't a Supreme Court justice, but he was a county court for a long time.
He did
one
DUIs.
Of his bailiffs was a former
DUIs.
One of his bailiffs was a former player of his, or a former teammate of his, former teammate Nat Moore. And
Nat
Ed
Moore,
Newman, yeah,
the receiver.
Yes,
Nat Moore was his bailiff.
Yes.
I thought Nat Moore does like Dolphins pregame.
He does now. I mean, we're talking about years and years ago. This guy was a county judge for almost 30 years. Okay, Ed Newman had a remarkable timeline in Dolphins history. Okay, the first Dolphins team he ever played on was the 1973 Super Bowl champions, the arguably the best team in Dolphins history. The last Dolphins team he ever played on was Dan Marino's rookie year.
Greg, Chris just fell asleep.
I know he did.
Dad, I'm a Dolphins fan, and this doesn't do anything for me. Like, I'm
okay, because you don't have a sense of Dolphins history. You're a Dolphins fan now. You were not a Dolphins fan back then. But I think, and if Ed Newman
alive.
Is listening to this, what?
He was barely alive.
Correct. I think to this, and this is a litmus test, people.
God, this
okay,
conversation
because,
is just making my skin crawl. It's like,
I know.
Talking your about skin... the interview is just like, oh my God.
Okay, because I haven't been able to convince you guys off the air.
This is how Greg wins.
Because I heard
we
it.
We probably should have just aired the audio. This is how he wins.
Right. I want to, not now, but I think soon I want to air that audio. And I'm not saying the whole thing. I think it's a good interview. You two probably haven't even listened to it.
I listened to it.
The whole thing.
Yes.
Okay,
I love the part you interviewed. Like, hey, your daughter wrote your book with you. Here she is.
Right.
I have not listened to it.
There you go.
You wrote the book with your dad. How was it? It was great. You know, my dad.
And then you stopped listening.
My dad, he doesn't remember everything, but I had to get it out of him. And I did. We had some really good stories. And then, what was the craziest trial you dealt with? No, I just had a bunch of DUIs.
Okay.
To Chris's point, you basically were not pushing the interview at all. You were just like, I got to do it for the Herald anyway. And then once you had the audio here, I'm going to send this to you. If you think it's great, we can use it. And then like a week later, you're like, why aren't we using the Newman audio?
Right.
And and that's where Chris feels tricked, I think.
Of course.
And now a month later, I'm still saying that. Why haven't we aired it yet?
Because the whole time leading into it, you were like, we don't have to. No big deal. And you're like, why haven't you used it?
We have to have a standard, Dad.
We do. Okay.
You think everything you do is interesting.
No, that's not true. But this is...
You know how uninteresting this is?
Oh, my God. This is...
Let's go to Dad jokes now.
Like, I couldn't want Dad jokes more in my life.
Go, Greg. Go.
All right. Okay. God, this has been a weird episode.
This is a fraught episode.
Your judgment in this episode, Dad. Like, you don't... The audience...
Speaking of judges, here's Ed Newman.
The audience doesn't even know, like, the 10 minutes we had to cut out of this damn episode because of you.
I know. Someday they will. Someday they will. Number 3. How does a lion greet other animals?
Roar.
Pleased to eat you.
Terrible.
Dumb.
Number 2.
So dumb.
Why couldn't the sailors play cards?
Why?
Because the captain was standing on the deck.
Is the third one? I want Grayson to listen to the third one. See if she laughs at these. Grayson, come here. Pop's going to say a joke. You don't have to laugh. Like, just take him on the side.
Only if you think it's
like
funny.
Funny.
Well, she might not get it, though.
Bad. Okay, listen.
Hi, Gracelyn.
Hi.
Ready? How does the dog catcher get paid?
I don't know.
By the pound.
Is that funny?
No.
Yeti liked it. I saw Yeti smile.
That's over Gracelyn's head. That's not
smiling
terrible.
At her reaction. Right. How did the dog catcher get paid? By the pound. That's the one that failed on his granddaughter.
Okay, that's not bad, though. That's not bad.
Luckily, in your defense, I don't think she knows what a pound is.
I know. I have a bonus dad joke. Can I sneak in one more?
Is it for Grayson like it?
She might not get this either.
All right, go ahead.
What do you call a pony with a sore throat?
Calmly.
A
little horse.
She wouldn't have got that one yet.
No, that was a good one, though.
No.
Let's move on from this to something maybe more interesting. There are three things
things that interest him. So sit right back for three facts, Jack.
Number three, Chicago is called the Windy City because of the winds blowing in off Lake Michigan, but the actual windiest city in the U.S. meteorologically at 16.1 average miles per hour winds is Cold Bay, Alaska. Number two.
Bay.
Exactly, Cold Bay. Number two. 2 years before John Wilkes Booth assassinated President Abraham Lincoln, Booth's older brother, Edwin Booth, saved the life of Lincoln's eldest son, Robert Todd Lincoln, by pulling him to safety after he fell from a New Jersey train platform onto the track.
I did know about that. I just learned about that this last year.
Interesting.
That was number interesting one. That I knew. Yes, I knew about that. Interesting that you knew about that. Not interesting at all, which is this whole episode.
Number one, the human body contains about 650 muscles. The trunk of an elephant, the trunk alone, contains about 40,000.
Good to know.
How about that? It is good to know. You could be on Jeopardy, and it could be elephant trunks for $600.
There are three things that interest him, so sit right back for three facts, Jack.
Oh, there are some weird feelings on this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Well, the highlight was Mom ripping me, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we needed her.
Oh, there are going to be a lot of people that love that for you, Chris.
I actually think that that might be a funny device of just like, Mom wants to talk to you. Like just kind of like.
Yeah, she, believe me, I got an earful from her. When she heard that episode last week and heard what you said, she wanted to respond.
Why does she listen?
Someone's going to get a talking to. Here's Erlene Cody.
She shouldn't right. be listening to this.
Why?
Because we're just like a bunch of, we're just shooting from the hip here. Like, this is.
Your wife is the only wife out of this show who listens to this show.
Yeah. Okay. My wife definitely doesn't listen.
Yep. Nine. That's just how wonderful of a woman Erlene is.
Yeah.
She really is.
I feel like she's just waiting to hear her voice. Like, that's like, she's just listening for these reasons.
Your mom has a legit, really nice speaking voice.
Yes.
Really?
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, she speaks so well. Like, it's just pleasant to listen to.
Don't her and I, people have said her and I sound kind of similar. I know she talks,
I can hear it.
She talks more good than I do, but I'm not saying I do. I'm just saying people have said that to me, that our voices are similar, but she does.
I can hear
she
it.
Has a,
you sound more like your mom than you do your
yeah,
dad.
She has a good delivery. Like she's an attorney. Like, she's used to making like opening and closing remarks. So she's good at,
that's true.
She's good at this talking thing.
Wow. I never considered that. You know, you live with a woman for 40 years and you never really consider, wow, does she have a nice speaking voice or not? I don't know. I never thought about it. Interesting Yeti would say that.
Yeah, no, I've always, like, anytime she's appeared on the Levitard show or here, like, I've always noticed that. Like, she has a really just a pleasant sounding speaking voice.
Even when she's ripping me?
Especially then.
It's just, yeah, there's just a nice clarity to it.
Wow. Well, I was listening, Christopher, when she was responding to your slamming our New York vacations, and she made some great points.
I never said that we didn't have a great time or do fun things.
You said we did New York wrong.
We stayed in the wrong spot. Like, that's a fact. Like, and Mom,
it
God
isn't.
Bless Mom's heart for, like, allowing a 13-year-old to dictate where we stay. But if I'm Mom today, I will be like with my daughter, like I'll be like, we can do stuff that you're gonna do, but I'm gonna choose where we stay. Like, I wouldn't let my kid determine where in the city we're staying. Like, yes, if he wants to see the wrestling stuff, if he wants to go here, Yankees game, we're gonna do all the fun stuff, but like, I'm going to pick where we stay because I'm an adult.
Right.
Look, I can't wait to isolate the video of Greg doing the worst pantomime staircase behind your mom.
What was that?
Like, he tried to do the walk down thing where you're walking down the stairs. It was the worst. It looked like you just bent over.
I know, because my knees aren't strong enough to do that. You know,
I really do want to see that video on social. That would be.
Oh, that will come out a little bit later on. Don't you guys have a Dylan concert to go to?
Yeah, we're gonna go, Dad. We're gonna do some content.
Did a bowling move.
Oh, what? We're gonna finish this episode from a Bob Dylan concert.
Hopefully better than we started.
Oh, wow. Okay, someday the truth will come out. About
all right, go to Bob Dylan. Go
air.
To Bob Dylan.
Okay.
Cut to Bob Dylan. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
cotton candy, sweet as gold. Is the Greg Cody Show today? It started all 4 years ago. That's the show we've come to celebrate. Here's some words to sing out with your chest and help you brighten up your day. Go to thegregcodyshow.com, find an episode and press play. Just press play. Just press play.
It's like a racehorse.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are leaving a concert that nobody wanted to record. Look, we just got the Dave Chappelle treatment where we all had to lock up our cell phones for 2.5 hours.
Ridiculous.
Dad, I want you to go before I go because I don't want to, like, Bob Dylan is a legend. Yeah. So I want you to go before I go.
Okay, this is the third time I've seen him. He is a legend. I admire him. But he just puts on a concert that nobody wants to see. I mean, seriously, he has so many hits, sing-along hits, hits that people love. He doesn't play any of them. Like, it's ridiculous.
I'm telling you, I've never been a part of a concert, and I've been to some kids' concerts. I've been to some elementary school concerts where parents are faking it the entire time. And what I just witnessed was every time I looked back, like a few times I was like, this can't be just me. Right. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm not into this. Let me look back.
No.
Nobody's mouthing the words. Nobody. It's not that there's no energy. It's that not a single person is mouthing the words.
Well, it's also that there's no energy because every song is like, the whole concert is like a funeral dirge. Like, everything is like the same tempo, the same slow pace.
It was the same tempo for the entire concert.
It was all...
Like, you're ripping this, right? Like you're...
You know what? I'm ripping it while also expressing admiration for Dylan.
Let's go to the side here, because there's a lot...
And all he's meant. I mean, Bob Dylan, look, you don't know.
Okay. That sounds like a guy named Robert Dylan that you call Bob Dylan.
Okay, look.
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan... Like, I admire the f*** out of him.
Yeah.
Okay. He is, I likened him earlier tonight. If you're making a
Mount... You called him a poet.
If you're making a Mount Rushmore, it's like the Beatles, Elvis, and Bob Dylan.
That can't
be
true.
That's where you start.
After what I just saw tonight, that can't be true.
No, it is true. And you didn't...
He's not even close to Elvis or Bob Dylan. I saw the Elvis movie. I know Beatles songs. Like, this is not them.
I'm just saying, the problem is... We didn't see Bob Dylan tonight. We saw the latter-day version of him, which is the guy who says, F*** the audience.
He doesn't care about anything.
He doesn't want to play. He has so many beloved, iconic hits.
Now, I don't want to, because
he
also...
didn't play any of them.
It struggled. Like, it seemed like it honestly struggled for him to stand a lot, so I don't... Like, he might just be old.
Yeah, he is. I don't know how old. He may be 80.
But he can still play the songs that people want to sing.
Oh, my God.
Like that's
it. And I told you, his voice was good. I think his voice was good. But he just doesn't... this is the third time I've seen him. And the second time where he just does not play... Anything he doesn't want to play.
You are, like, you're in his element. You're his demo.
Oh, my God.
And you knew one of the 16 songs that he played.
Right.
You knew one.
Yeah. And on the way over here, on the ride over here, I told you to play a couple of songs of his, and you're like, these are great.
Yeah. I was like, God, I wanted my dad to curate the Bob Dylan concert because you played some good songs.
Yeah. If I could curate... if I could give a playlist of Bob Dylan songs, he would be huge again. He would be popular.
He doesn't give a shit. Again. He takes his 10 grand, he puts it in his pocket, and he says, I'm just going to play an hour and a half worth of music. Like, that's what I don't want to completely rip him. He's an old man. It looked like he struggled for him to stand up.
Right.
There were times where I was just vibing with each of his, like, you know, his drummer, he had like Fiverr guy. Like, I was trying to vibe with it, but it's just... I don't know,
but
it left it. Especially if you're putting him in the Beatles and Elvis category, like, I need way more.
I know, but here's the thing. I tried to explain to you. He is iconic. He is a generational poet. Like,
he's not even the Eagles to me.
Okay. I saw the Eagles the night before, and they're great. Believe
me. They are more iconic than Bob Dylan is to my, but to the casual music observer.
Okay, but not to people my age. Not to people my age.
Let's walk, because I got to pee.
Okay, I do, too.
We've pulled off to the side, and we're just rambling, and people are looking at us.
Urinate right now if there weren't hundreds of people around
me. There are a lot of people here, so we're not going to urinate.
Okay, I'm urinating as I speak right now. God, I hope nobody's watching.
He's
me.
He's walking and urinating.
It's unbelievable. Okay, no, we're good. We're good. But let me know when we're wrapping up because I got to sing our happy birthday song.
Do it. Go ahead. Oh, no, we should make fun. Look.
Come on. Because
earlier in this podcast, we did 5 minutes on the song Happy Birthday where we never acknowledged that this is our happy birthday. This podcast is what, 4 years old, 3 years old?
Yeah, our first episode was March 3rd, whatever, of 2020. We literally debuted right before
the
pandemic.
We're 4 years old?
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Our podcast looks older than you do.
I'm telling you, not quite, but here.
I got to pee so bad.
I know,
go ahead, sing.
Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday, the Greg Cody Show podcast with Greg Cody. Happy birthday to us. Cha, cha, cha.
What about Yeti and Chris?
Yeah, you know, it's my podcast. Come on.
That kind of thing. I'm talking about
that kind of thing.
Whoop. Whoop.